You know, people watching these old crazy movies, right? And then they don't want to. I told you all the time I went to see The Exorcist. When I was in college, I went to see The Exorcist. And I came back home that night, and my parents were gone. And my brothers were somewhere else. And I sat on a wall across the street from my house because I didn't want to go back into my house. And I was afraid to go into my house because I saw The Exorcist. Now, let me ask you the question. What in the world is the difference if my parents and my brothers are in the house or if nobody's in the house? There's no difference at all other than the fact that I let myself become a victim of my own circumstances.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Jesus Eliminated the Fear Factor. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Jesus Eliminated the Fear Factor.
He didn't trust the airplanes. So some people have fear stimulated because they don't have trust. And then one of Satan's biggest tools, one of Satan's biggest weapons is fear. Is that if Satan can get the child of God to live in fear, look what happened to the disciples. That when they became fearful, where were they at? They were tucked away in a room. They weren't out there proclaiming the good news. They weren't out there sharing the fact that Jesus had died. And they already knew that he rose again because two of them had already came and told them. But we find them ineffective. And if Satan can get you to become fearful, then he's got you. Because you will be ineffective in the kingdom of God. How do people deal with fear? Well, there are three ways that people deal with fear. They avoid it. You know, they just don't think about it. They try to put it aside. Or from the other perspective, they wallow in it, right? Right. Oh, I'm afraid. And they just become so paralyzed that they don't want to do anything and it cripples their life. Or they step up to it and they face it. And that's what Jesus would have us to do. Jesus would have us. Since he died and rose again, Jesus would have us to face our fears head on. What are the results of fear? Well, there are several devastating results of fear. It paralyzes a person, as I've already said, and makes them ineffective. It leads to sin, such as not trusting in God, that when we fear, that we begin to have faith in God, and believe that he's able to let us reign victorious over whatever thing is holding us behind. It weakens a person's ability to be bold, that when you are fearful, when you are timid, you hold back, you don't step out, you don't move ahead, but you're timid, you're fearful. Like the disciples held them back. It begins to cause health problems when fear grips you and dominates you, and then it leaves you open to all type of attacks by the enemy. I went through that pretty quick, and we do have notes in the back for those of you who missed it. But I wanted to get to how do we overcome fear, because that's why we're here today. And you know what? That's what the resurrection is all about. The resurrection is all about you being delivered of whatever fear that you have in your life. You know, even as a church, we can become fearful, and we can not want to step out on faith. We can want to see things happen, and we can want to have all these ducks in the order. And sometimes God says, don't be fearful, just step out on faith. And sometimes he's speaking to you in your life. Don't be fearful. What's holding you back from being all that God would have you to be? Some of y'all sitting here today, and you know that God wanted you to do something. That you know that God had a plan for your life. You know that God had a job for you, and you didn't do it because you were fearful and you held back. And fear is a trick of the enemy that cripples us and renders us ineffective. How do we overcome fear. First, you need to keep yourself in the presence of the Lord. That is, as long as I can see the Lord, I know that everything is going to be all right. It's just like the little boy who was in the building that was burning, and he was at the window, and smoke was pouring out the window, and he told his dad, he said, "Dad, I don't want to die. I don't want to die." And his dad was standing down there, and he said, "Jump, son, jump." He said, "But Dad, I'm afraid to jump." He said, "Jump, son." He said, "But Dad, the smoke is pouring out. I can't see you." And the father said, "Jump, son. I can see you." And sometimes we are like that little boy. You know, if we can't see God, it hinders our faith and it makes us fearful. That when we wander away from God, that when you wander away from God in your life and you can't see God, then that's when terror and that's when fear will fill your life. But as long as you can stay in the presence of the Lord, that if you're getting up in the morning, spending time with God in his word, spending time in prayer, coming to the house of the Lord, fellowshipping with the saints, whenever you can keep your eyes on God, fear will not render you ineffective. Fear knocked at the door. Fear knocked at my door. Fear knocked at your door. I said, "Who is it?" He said, "It's fear." I said, "God, can you answer the door?" God answered the door, and there was nobody there. Nobody there. That when you stay close to the Lord, that fear will not grip your life. What was the disciples' main problem? Is that they all turned their back on Jesus. They all ran. And so why did they run? They ran because they were afraid. Why were they hiding? They were hiding because they were afraid. But when Jesus showed up and they saw Jesus and he spoke peace to them, their fears were gone. Look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91. "He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Look at that shadow. Look at that shadow right there. Some of y'all can't see it. There's a shadow right there. And it's covering part of this altar. That altar's covered by my shadow. That altar knows that what? Watch this. That Pastor Glaze is somewhere close by. He that dwelleth under the shadow of the Almighty. That you know that God is close by somewhere. "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee." So not only do you have his shadow, but you've got his feathers and his wings covering you. And then look what he says. He says, "Neither shall thou be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." As long as you know that God is somewhere close by, there's no need for you to fear. And people only begin to fear. Again, fear is a natural response to a challenge or to imminent harm or danger. Fear arises in us. So we can't stop fear from coming. You can't stop fear. When a stimulus happens and causes fear to spring up in your heart, you can't stop that. But somewhere early on in that process, you better realize that God is somewhere around. And see, what happens to a lot of people is they're not walking with God, so when that feeling comes on them, they have no resources to comfort them. They have no strength to draw from. So what happens? Fear begins to overcome them. and it begins to cripple them. Number two, you've got to meditate on the fact that the Lord is on your side. Psalm 27 in verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What in the world are you going to be afraid of? Who is there? If God is on your side, what is it that you fear? You fear flying? You fear spiders? You fear bugs? You fear animals? You fear fears? You have fears? What is it that God cannot help you through? And I'm not trying to minimize it, because I know that people have fears. But if God is on your side, if the Lord is my light, if the Lord is my salvation, whom shall I fear? If the Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? You know, people watching these old crazy movies, right? And then they don't want to, I told you all the time, I went to see The Exorcist. When I was in college, I went to see The Exorcist. And I came back home that night, and my parents were gone. And my brothers were somewhere else. And I sat on a wall across the street from my house, because I didn't want to go back into my house. And I was afraid to go in my house because I saw The Exorcist. Now, let me ask you the question. What in the world is the difference if my parents and my brothers are in the house or if nobody's in the house? There's no difference at all, other than the fact that I let myself become a victim of my own circumstances. And so sometimes we let fear override us. Yo, since I became a Christian, yo, there was a time in my life when, yo, I was concerned about demons and evil spirits. You know what? That stuff don't even bother me now. That stuff don't faze me, because I know the Bible says greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And so I know that there's no reason for me to fear, because God is on my side. And that whenever he called me to preach, that fear comes up. That nervousness comes up. It came up when I was sitting there today thinking about coming up here to speak. There was a nervousness that came in my spirit when I began to think about it. But I know God's with me. I know that he gives me the strength to do what it is that he wants me to do. So what has God called you to do? Don't be hindered because of fear. Don't let fear render you inoperative. Number three, take advantage of the resources that God has given you to combat fear. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God hath not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. That as a child of God, you don't have. God didn't, when you got saved, God didn't say, okay, this person got saved, you know, I'm going to put all kind of bad things in their life, and I'm going to give them this spirit so they'll be afraid. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of supernatural power. You know what kind of power you have? The same power that let Jesus get up and rise from the dead, Paul said in Ephesians 1, is the same power that's in you. And if you've got that same power, then you've got the ability to be able to deal with any fear that you might be facing. And you can, and see, again, here's the problem. Many people are facing fears in their own power, in their own strength. That's the problem. You need to get out of your power, and you need to get out of your strength. You know, it's just, you heard about the guy who went to the hardware store and bought a saw and came back and tried to saw down some trees, and he was just having a difficult time sawing these trees down. And as he was sawing, it was taking him forever. And finally, he realized that something must be wrong with this saw. So he took it back to the store. And he said, look, he said, this saw don't work. He said, I was trying to saw down a tree, and I was out there sawing for a couple hours, and I only made about an inch dead in it. So I don't know what's wrong with this saw, but, you know, it's no good. Can I get another one? And the man said, well, don't seem to be anything wrong with the saw to me. He said, let me take a look at it. He went like this. He went, pulled the cord. And the man said, what's that noise? See, we're like that guy, right? We wanted, now for those of you who didn't get it, right? It was a power chainsaw, right? He forgot to turn the power on. So he was trying to use it without the power. Okay. All right. Some people, man, they be laying in bed at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, wake up and say, oh, now I got it. But we're like that guy, right? God has given us not the spirit of fear, but he's given us supernatural power. And he's given us this power to be able to cut down fear in our life. But we try to do it in our own strength, and we can't do it. He said he's given us the power of, not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love. What is love? Love is God's loving presence. That instead of fear, let the presence of God flood your soul. Instead of fear, allow the love of God to light up. Man, if you just think, sometimes you just need to sit back and think. God loves me. 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 And as you realize that God loves you, that fear will begin to just melt away like a piece of ice on a hot day. God loves me. That when I was dealing with my sickness, the one assurance that I had through it all, I didn't know a lot about what was going on with my body. And there was a tendency to want to fall back into the area of fear. But when I came into the presence of God and I just told myself, God loves me. And that whatever I'm going through, whatever is trying to grip me and take control of my life, God loves me. He has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You know what the phrase sound mind means in the Greek? It means self-discipline. That God has given you the ability of self-discipline, to discipline yourself so that fear does not grip your life. Number four, you need to face your fear with authority. You need to face your fear. What's your fear? You need to face it with authority. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of fear. Though I walk through the valley where there are fears all around me, I will not fear any evil. What did the psalmist say? I'm going to face my fears. I'm going to look my fears in the face. And I'm going to say, you're not going to control me because God is with me. You got to face your fears. And you can't face your fears wimpy. You can't face your fears haphazardly. The psalmist said, yeah, you know, I walk through the valley. God might be with me. You know, sometimes God is with me. Sometimes, you know, I never know. You know, I look around and I feel like I'm in this by myself sometimes. Well, again, maybe that's because you've got away from God. The psalmist said, when I walk, I'm not going to fear any evil because he's with me. And then my last point is that you've got to ask yourself five probing questions about your fear. Ask yourself five probing questions. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. What is the cause of my fear? What is it causing me to be afraid? If God called me to continue my education, what is causing me to stop from doing that? If God called me to start a business, what is the fear that's hindering me? What is my fear? You got to identify what your fear is. That's the first place in recognizing a problem, is that you've got to identify what your fear is. Secondly, you got to ask yourself the question, what is the worst thing that my fear can do to me? Whew! What is the worst thing my fear can do to me? Now, I know some of y'all don't want to hear what I'm getting ready to say, right? But I'm going to tell you. The worst thing your fear can do is kill you. But for the Christian, isn't that the best thing? I mean, really? Oh, y'all not with me, right? It's all right that Jesus rose, but you know, Pastor, I'm not ready to rise yet, you know. It's all right. Let Jesus rise. I still want to be here a little while, right? Now, we in the fall, we're going to have our missions conference, and we have people from Voices of the Martyrs that's coming, and they're going to speak to us. And one of the things that they talk about is persecuted Christians. Christians that have been persecuted, and that not only have been persecuted, but many of them have been killed for their faith. But what does the Bible say? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, I mean, when we come to grips with the fact that the worst thing our fear can do is kill us, and I know I'm not ready to die. You know, it's just like the one Easter the preacher preached and about the resurrection, and he said, who all wants to go to heaven? And a couple people raised their hands, and he led them to Christ, and there was this little boy, and the preacher knew that he wasn't saved, and the preacher said, son, I know you weren't saved. How come you didn't raise your hand when I said, who wants to go to heaven? He said, I thought you was getting up a bunch to go today. I wouldn't raise your hand. So I know many of us are like that, right? We want to go, but we're not ready right now. But the fact of the matter is, what is the first thing, worst? You got to think about, what is the worst thing that your fear can do? And 9 times out of 10, it's not going to be kill you, right? But then you got to ask the next question. What is my fear keeping me from doing? Man, there are people that need you. There are people that need to be blessed by what you have to offer. And you are, your fear is paralyzing you and keeping you from doing what you need to do to be a blessing to somebody else. What are the benefits of me overcoming my fear? What are the benefits? Oh, man, there's so multitude of benefits that when you overcome your fear, just think about that's another area of your life that's behind you. But when you're still dealing with your fear, that is something that's in front of you and you continue to struggle with it. But the benefit is that when you overcome it, man, you can move on with your life. Other people will be blessed. And then finally, what is the first little thing that I can do to face my fear? All right, somebody say, I got a fear of flying. Then get a stepladder and just go up on the first step. I can do that. I'm afraid of dogs. Get you a picture of a dog, you know. Pet it. You know, what's the first step that I can do? Because God does not want his people to live in fear. As I close today, look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. In verse 13. Acts 4:13. We see the disciples who were hiding, who were cowards. They were hiding in an upper room. They were afraid when Jesus showed up. In Acts chapter 4, in verse 13, we read these words. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. I just want to stop there. I just want to stop there. We could go on and read the rest of that verse, that they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. When they saw the boldness. These guys were hiding. They were afraid of the Jews. They were terrified of the Jewish leaders. And now we see them standing in the street doing what? Boldly.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Lust, a Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Jesus Eliminated the Fear Factor, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Jesus Eliminated the Fear Factor. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Jesus Eliminated the Fear Factor. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.